What I want to do today is to review some of the highlights of the Yamim Noraim, some of the most important things. Maybe suggest some new things. I don't know if we have time to do that. Our first thing on the agenda is really the Kol Nidre. You know, when you are Chazan, it's always the one thing that people look for mostly. And I want to review a few things about Kol Nidre, and that we discussed long ago, but I think it's very important to know. And the Kol Nidre is a text that was created probably during the 7th or 8th century in Babylonia. And it was based on the idea that you cannot finish a year without annulling your vows, without totally forgetting about the all the vows that you have. The Kol Nidre was established in the times of the Geonim in Babylonia.
We think about the 7th, 8th century, but we see that for the first time in the earlier Sidurim of the 10th century. Already in Babylonia, this was a controversial thing.
David, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yes.
I forgot this thing. My little machine.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I remember now.
Kol Nidre. The reason why we begin with Kol Nidre is because the congregations look very much eagerly for that moment in the service, and they are looking not only to the text, which we'll be discussing in a minute, which is problematical, but mainly to the music of the Kol Nidre, which is a symbol of the entire Yom Kippur. Has become a symbol in the Ashkenazi community for the entire Yom Kippur atonement feeling, the feeling of atonement. So, the Kol Nidre prayer, as I said, was created in the time of the Geonim. We talk about 7th, 8th century, we're not sure exactly when. In the 10th century, it already appears in the Machzorim, in the prayer book, and it started with a controversy that stopped during the Middle Ages, but was flared again, opened again in a very big dimension during the 19th century as a result of the emancipation. So what is the problem? The problem is the following. The Kol Nidre prayer is originally an annulment of your vows. And the question is, what kind of vows? Are we talking about the vows that are to be done from here to the next year? Yeah. Or the vows that we did last year?
Yeah.
So naturally you would think that the idea is to annul the vows of last year. Yeah? Which is very nice. But that's not the way Judaism works. Judaism works on the 11th commandment, and the 11th commandment is always, if it can make it complicated, why make it simple? therefore, this thing is complicated from the very, very beginning. Some thought that we are annulling the vows of last year, but some said this is not good enough. What we need to do is, ahead of time, declare that all the vows from this year to the next year are null and void, because otherwise you may vow
something, you may promise something that you cannot fulfill, and that's going to be very, very bad, because according to Judaism, the vows which are not fulfilled can be very severely punished by God. So you have two versions of Konidre side by side. One annulling the Yom Kippur She'avar, Yom Kippur the last year, Ad Yom Kippur Im Zeh. And then you have an annulment Yom Kippur Im Zeh, Ad Yom Kippur Im Haba Le'ayu Le'Tova. Two different versions. And the these two versions conflicted a lot in the prayer books. What is the idea of annulling from now to the next year? This is based on a ceremony which is called Hatarat Nedarim. Hatarat Nedarim, that is again an annulment of vows of the of each person, and this is done until this very day. In Orthodox communities, people come to a Beth Din of three people, and these three people can be any, just three people, and say, please, you as a Beth Din, forgive me for all my vows. And there are formulas for forgiving the vows of next year, last year, for next year. Why am I bringing it so much up? Because of the music. And that is that during the emancipation in the 19th century, this prayer became very controversial because of this legal thing. The text itself is completely legal. It has no emotion in it except for the words Icharat Nabehon. We are regretting them. That's the only emotion. The text in the traditional text is like written like a contract text, what you call in legalese language. Legal, everything is legal. All the vows that we vow, we shall vow from here on to next year, and it gives all the names of the vows. Kol nidrei ve'esarei ve'charamei ve'shvuei ve'konamei ve'kinusei, and then it says ve'chinuyei. Ve'chinuyei means all the rest of them, that means like etc. So all of them are vowed and kneeled from this time on to the next year, etc., etc. So that's a very legal kind of a text. But just this very legal text became a very big problem through the Christian world. I mean, vis-à-vis the Christian world. Because the Christian world said, aha, you Jews, you are you're swearing an oath, you're promising something, and at the same time you do something like this behind the back, and you have a kind of a mumbo-jumbo ceremony in which everything is annulled. How can we trust you? How can we take your testimony in court? And this was a problem that caused great degradation for Jews in the courts of European countries. They had to have to take a special oath, which was called the oath of the Jews, or the swearing of the Jews, and it caused great anti-Semitism. So in the 19th century, as the emancipation became part of Jewish life, people started to react against it. And they invented new texts. They did not want to discard the Kol Nidre prayer. And so there were various solutions to what to do, because the music became so important. And there are many solutions. Some congregations sang a song, like Psalm Nima Makim, Ferratiha Adonai, out of the depth I call you, O God, or any other song to this melody. Others just discarded the whole text and played the melody, especially when Bruch's Kol Nidre came out.
In American congregations, American Reform congregations, you have in the old Sidurim of the 1930s, you have here the melody of Kol Nidre is played, and no text whatsoever. And other solutions are the positive Kol Nidre. And this is what you have in your Machzor. So let's open the Machzor and see what we have.
What I was going to say is it's not the
163.
It's not about the vows from men,
yeah,
to men, but it was. It is about the vows from men to God.
Okay, very important. Tom, that is very important. I forgot to mention that, and that's very important. Let's talk about that for a minute before we go into the text. Of course, when we talk about vows, we mean vows between men and God. Like if you vow, for instance, that if God helps you and you come out of this danger alive, then you will fast 10 days,
yeah,
or things of that nature. But not, it has nothing to do with your debts, for instance. If you promise to return a debt, or you promise to do something between man and man, this is nothing to do. But the Christians did not want to understand that. And because of that, many rabbis, until this very day, read the legal text before Kol Nidre and say, "Averot shebein adam lachavero, yom ha-kippurim mechaper." The transgressions between man and God, Yom Kippur atones. Transgression between man and man, averot shebein adam lachavero, and Yom ha-kippurim mechaper. Yom Kippur does not atone for transgression between men and men. And rabbis insist to read that since the emancipation, not before that. Mm-hmm. That was not read before the emancipation. So let's go to the Kol Nidre text and see, what did you say?
163.
Thank you. Okay, so we have Kol Nidrei Bnei Israel Asher Heima Nodrim Lecha Avinu Benosam El Einehem Elecha Hayoshvi Bashamayim Lashuv Elecha Bechol Levaram Ubechol Nafsham Miyom Kippurim Ze Ad Yom Kippurim Haba Alinu Letova Kulam Yaalu Veyavohu Veyagiu Veyrahu Lepanecha Lerachamim Vechadesh Ruach Nachon Bekirbam Leman Yasuru Midarkam Haraa Ve'al Yashuvu Lechislam. Can somebody read the Dutch translation, please?
Nog alle geloften van de kinderen van Israël die zij vandaag geloven en vertalen, naar zij hun ogen tot u opslaan, dat u die in de hemel troont, mogen die tot u opstijgen en tot u komen in de liefde. Alle beloften waarin zij zeggen tot u terug te keren met heel hun hart en al hun verlangen, dit gehele jaar van deze dag der verzoening tot de dag der verzoening in het volgend jaar, ach, mogen die voor u verschijnen in de liefde. Vernieuw in hen de geest om stand te houden, opdat zij de kwade weg verlaten en niet terugkeren tot eigen zelf.
Okay, so you see what the spirit is. First of all, the text is written in Hebrew and not in Aramaic. The original text is written in Aramaic. And since in the 19th century, reform or liberal movements, Aramaic was considered a mumbo-jumbo language that nobody understands, they translated it into Hebrew somewhat. But then they did all of the annulment. There's no annulment there.
No.
Nothing. Nothing of that spirit. It's just, oh God, please accept the vows that we vow unto you, and please make our people understand the right thing and let them not do foolish things. So that's what it says at the end. And that's it. So this is that was accepted in many congregations as the standard text. Now, in the American movement decided long ago to go back to the old text, to the old text, and retain it as a historical memory. In Jerusalem, Hebrew Union College, what we do is, unlike every Orthodox synagogue that they do three times the Kol Nidrei, we do the Kol Nidrei four times. We read three times the traditional text and the fourth time this text, the positive text. So that there are various solutions for that in many places. Okay, so now why did we retain the Kol Nidrei? Because of the music. So where does the music come from?
In the original text, is it about the last year or the coming year?
A good question, because we have two versions of it, and there is
both in Aramaic.
In Aramaic.
And you do the which one? The three times? The other one from the last one?
The Yom Kippur is there, and Yom Kippur is about for the next year. For the announcement of the laws for the next year. Which was the Ashkenazi way of doing it. The Italians have the reverse, from last year to this year. The Ashkenazi have from this year to the next year. And the Sfardim have both. They say, Miyom Kippurim Sheavar Ad Yom Kippurim Ze Veshenin Dar Miyom Kippurim Ze Ad Yom Kippurim Abba.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get two for the final one. There's a difference between Sephardim, the Western Sephardim, and the Eastern Sephardim, like the Portuguese.
The Portuguese.
Yeah, but the Sephardim, the Israeli Sephardim, I mean, they do the both.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, about the music. You would expect a legalese, a text like that, to have music which is very simple. So, for instance, in the Sephardic rite, or the Eastern Sephardic, you go, Kol, they say count. Kol Nidrei Vesarei Ushibuei Vacharamei Vekonamei Vekinusei Vekinuei Din Dar Na Vishtabano Vedin Dar Vedin Ishtaba Miyom Kippurim Sheavar Ad Yom Kippurim Ze Umiyom Kippurim Ze Ad Yom Kippurim Arba Aleinu Letova. And that's a very simple kind of statement. The Italian has a similar statement, and only the Ashkenazim has this melody. And the question is, when was this melody created? And I already said that last time, and I just want to repeat that. There is a myth about this melody, because it expresses sorrow, it expresses regret, that this melody was created during the Spanish Inquisition time. And you hear in many sermons, you hear about that. Well, they were forced to practice Christianity, and once a year they would assemble there in the basements of some place, and they would sing the Kol Nidrei as a message of their regret. And this is a very important myth, and I must tell you, I'm a great believer in myths as a formative thing. Unfortunately, historically, it's not true. Number one, if the Sephardim would sing it, how come that no Sephardi community preserved this melody? That's number one. Number two, Ilusson did research on this melody and found out that it is very, very much influenced by late medieval and early Renaissance Ashkenazi, that means German, the melodic lines, especially those that were sung by Minnesinger. Minnesinger were the troubadours of the German court, especially in southern Germany. And so he, based on that, he decided that it was the melody was created in southern Germany, somewhere between the late 15th and early 16th century. We do not know who created that, how it was created, etc. So based on these two facts, this is a very Ashkenazi kind of melody. I want just to say that, although I must insist on the historical fact, I don't really totally poo-poo these notions, because people have a feeling about that, and I will not stop a rabbi in a sermon saying, oh, this was in the equation. I said, stop a minute. No, that's not true. because many generations, for instance, when Arnold Schoenberg, the great composer, mm-hmm. he converted to Christianity, as it was the fashionable among artists and so on, musicians and so on. Then he wanted to return to Judaism, and he had a big ceremony in Paris synagogue to Rue Copernic, I think it was, to return to Judaism. And for that occasion, he wrote a great piece about Cornigre, and it incorporates the melody of Cornigre, but it tells the story of the Inquisition within this entire piece, like an oratorio, telling the story about the Inquisition and etc. and the melody. So, in any case, we're going to the melody. This melody is a very emotional one. It has two aspects to it. One is the minor part of the melody, which is the expression of regret, and the major part of the melody, which is the expression of hope. And that in itself became the symbol of Yom Kippur. There will be regret of what we have done, we did, etc., and we hope for some kind of personal, communal, etc., redemption. Whatever that means, the redemption. So, now having said all of this kind of thing, when you sing the Kollel, you have to think about these two things. And I want some of you to one of you to sing Kollel, because of that text, to sing it according to this text, the way you do it. Brown, could you do us the, and we'll do a few singing of what okay.
Kol nidrei v'nei Yisrael asher hema nodrim lecha Vechadesh Ruach.
emotional part of Imran's saying, and I think that's very important. Please notice that the text, the beginning, is of course in the minor. But then when it says and Haba Aleinu Letova, that's the idea. The next Yom Kippur, which will come for good, for the better. And therefore we go here into the major. Now it so happens that in the traditional text it's almost the same. And what we are singing here as a community is really the Lewandowski version of the Korridore. There are various other versions of the same melody. But there is a problem with this version when it comes to the continuation of the words. And you notice that Brahm repeated the words.
Lefanecha
Lerachamim. There is no other choice. You have to do that because the text is not enough. The text in the traditional Talmud is longer. Therefore, you have to repeat the melody here. Now, there is one problem with this text on the because the Al Yashuvul Chislam, and let they not return to their foolishness, actually, that's what it means. The Kessel is foolishness. Let them not return to it. It's not a very glorious ending for the Kol Nidre. But you have to overcome that as Chazanim and make a big fuss of melodically. Although the text does not bear it, I think if I were to write the text, I would have ended it in a more optimistic way. Maybe when you revise the Machzor, another way of ending it.
You had this great Yiddish expression of when you eat chazal, it has to be fat.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
What is the
when
in Yiddish?
When du es chazal, soll es fett sein.
Soll fett sein, yeah.
Or wenn chazal, dann fett.
Yeah. We may put the traditional text back and have the new, together revised version of this text.
Yeah.
And have both alternatives to the book.
Okay, fine. Alternative is a very good thing because some people will want to have this particular thing.
Let's make a discussion with the congregation.
Yeah. But in any case, in any case, Brahm, now it's your task to finish the Kol Nidre, but with a
glory.
With a glory.
It could be done.
Okay.
Because
good.
go up the stairs, okay?
Help me, guys.
I'm not.
Okay. Do you want to sing with
no, make it the third time, the last the third
I
time.
I sang the third time because I repeated the Rachamim three times or so, and with the first two times I do it only twice. So.
Yeah.
But and also because of the volume. It was more the third time than the first time.
Okay, well, let's discuss that.
The fourth time, then.
The man Yasuru Midar Kamara Val Yashuvu Lechislam.
Yeah, no, is it? That could be what, but if you want to make a good ending of this, don't think about the Chislam, Al Yashuvu. Al Yashuvu, very big Rita Danto, Yashuvu Lechislam. Yashuvu is important here. Al Yashuvu. And that will make the difference.
And people have always told me that make the end of Lechislam short because it's in Chislam.
Think about the melody. The melody, you tell them that it's impossible to end the Kol Nidre like that. We need
we need to change it some kind, because the optimism of the major mode.
So
we need to do that.
Yes, I think we can do the a bit higher.
But then, you don't want to emphasize the hara.
Yeah, you have hara, then you emphasize. Whatever you do here, whatever you emphasize here is not very good.
Just climbing in the tone. Just climbing in the tone.
So, emphasize the yashuvu and then end.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
All right, fine. Now we're talking about the repetition of Kol Nidre. It is, since medieval times, it was accustomed to repeat Kol Nidre three times. Now, why do you repeat three times? Because of its importance. And vows and things like that are sometimes repeated three times in order to make sure that you mean what you say. And I'll give you an example, and not from the Jewish tradition, but from the Muslim tradition. In the Muslim tradition, if a man says to his wife, "Enti talika," you are divorced, then she is divorced. But he has to say it three times. Because if he said it once, if he said it once, then maybe he meant it or maybe not meant it. He did not mean it. But if he said it three times, well, then it's
serious.
Now, in addition to that, already in the 14th and the beginning of the when we did not yet have this melody of Kol Nidre, we know that Maharil, Moreno Harav Yaakov Levi Segal, who was the chief authority on Nusach in his days, he was a Chazan as well as a rabbi, and he was...
Where?
He was in Mainz. In a community of Mainz, but he went around in many communities to kind of advise them about the news of them, but things of that nature. So this, in Maharil's writing, he already mentions that one has to hire one's voice every time Kol Nidre is sung. That is, first time you do it low, middle, and then high. Now the question is, what does he mean by that? Does he mean pitch or does he mean volume? That means, if he means pitch, that means you start calling the first time, Kol Nidre, then it's Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre. That's one thing. If he meant volume, that means Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre, the same pitch, but in different volume. That is a question we don't know. But the Chazanim, the tradition developed that you do both.
Both.
Pitch and volume. And this way you know that you've done your job. We do it. I don't know how you people do it. You do it half a tone higher, a tone higher. To make it a tone higher is a bit dangerous for your voice, because then you end up very, very high.
Yes.
Usually Chazanim like to do half a tone higher, and then also have the volume more strong from time to time. Now, the other thing that Chazanim did with his Kol Nidre is to embellish it. And they embellished mainly the major part. So, the melody of Kol Nidre came to us from the 18th century. The first manuscripts of Kol Nidre have the manuscript just because people wanted to notate their embellishments. Not because they wanted to transfer the melody, but they wanted to let everybody know what the embellishments they are doing. So you are allowed to do that, although I would not overdo this kind of thing.
Maybe only the third time.
Right. Only the third time. And... Yeah. Please, only don't do it in the don't don't do it in the minor part, but do it in the major part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The more optimistic kind of view that the 11 point.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, could we try to do it again? Somebody else do the Kohen Gadol, and we'll finish with Kohen Gadol with that. And try to put embellishments at the major section. Who wants to volunteer?
Yes.
No?
Don't miss
the embellishment.
Yeah.
90 days. Yeah.
So who's going to do that? Please, we don't have much time. Helma, are you going to do it?
Well, I'm not an embellishment specialist, so...
Okay, we'll help you.
Okay. From the beginning?
Yeshua, Chi.
very little.
Oh,
it was nice. But you can one can do. You can a little bit more embellish than you did, especially on the third time. I would not advise it as
true. No.
Otherwise, it's going to be kind of heavy and boring. But the last time, you want to give it a little more. And even Lewandowski himself, you see what Lewandowski did? He took the embellishments of the Chazanim and he puts them in the organ.
Yeah, that's the beautiful part.
Yeah, okay.
Yoppe can do it there.
Okay, so well, Yoppe, of course, can do a very beautiful thing,
yeah.
Even if it's not written in English.
I was here with my ears when I am singing alone, and then I hear Yoppe say, so it helps me too.
So actually, these embellishments, if you don't have an organ, and you have to sing it by yourself and in your congregation. I don't know how many of you have accompaniments for Yom Kippur. So you could do, you take some of these embellishments and put it into your singing.
Really?
For the last time. that is how Lewandowski just did it, what the Chazanim did.
Yeah, okay.
So for instance, Mi Yom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. Aleinu Eton.
He loves doing that here.
What?
He loves singing like that.
Okay, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, these are traditional cantorial embellishments, except that when Lewandowski did, he took it out of the canton and he puts it into the organ. The same thing with Rakhonim. Remember that we talked about Rakhonim.
I'm doing that since I studied it with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's the part I hear from Yoppe that's in my mind.
Right, but that's exactly what happened.
I'm saying it.
I don't hear Yoppe.
You see, when you don't have the organ, when you don't have the organ, and you sing the Kohanim, the way it's written in the Lewandowski, it's missing, because the whole thing is and so you, the Kohanim, it has no relationship. The whole thing is one has to bring in those organ parts that Lewandowski deliberately took out of the canton and give it to the organ. Okay, so this has to be restored, and each of you have to think about what you're going to do. I don't want to take our all time with Connie. We have other things to do, I want to say only one other thing. The Chazanim did on Connie Way. If you want, you do it. If you don't want, you don't do it. Chazanim sang the melody of Connie Way at the beginning without words. Kol Nidrei. It adds to the atmosphere if you do that.
Wow.
Just the beginning.
Only the beginning? Or the one beginning?
The first
part. Yeah, the first part, the very beginning.
Stop me.
Just to
create.
Yeah.
Not on la 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 la. No.
Not la la la.
Boy.
It sets the mind, it sets the atmosphere of the congregation to do that. And he doesn't have too much time to the service.
No. So, you don't need to go anywhere, you don't have to eat anymore.
Yeah. By the way, you have an active audience.
Okay.
Now, let's go to V'nislach lekol adat b'nei Yisrael. How do you sing V'nislach? Do you sing V'nislach according to the Lewandowski melody? Yeah. Okay, all right. Here, to take a look at the music in the first page. What we have here. What you sing now is the choral part. V'nislach lechol adat b'nei Yisrael v'nachem hadar v'tochar ki lechol adam v'shtamer. This is the part of the choral. I don't know, are you singing only that part? V'nislach is also supposed to be done 3 times.
Oh,
that's new.
That's only once. That was the tradition to do it to them 3 times. In the German tradition, it was done twice, and Vayomer Adonai Salachti Kidvarecha was done 3 times.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay, you're long with Kol Nivre this year.
You said you have a captive audience, so. I am very much for the beautiful melody that you have before that choral part.
In the Musaf service.
Exactly. Yeah. It is used at least 3 times during the services.
Oh.
It's the same melody.
Okay.
Yeah, the Musaf service. In some Achzorim, it's also in the Shacharit service. Al Tavo B'Mishpat Imanu. And then Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Teruah after the blowing of the shofar.
In the morning, after
the shofar service, in the Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah uses the first time. The first time it's used for after blowing the shofar. Ashrei ha'am yodei teruah. Okay, it is a very old and beautiful melody that should never be missed. So I highly recommend that on Rosh Hashanah, after the shofar blowing, then on Kol Nidre, and then Al Tavo B'Mishpat Imanu during the Musaf service in New York, Al Tavo B'Mishpat Imanu appears also in Shacharit in other Machzorim. Doesn't matter right now. Please use it. So let's sing it together. V'nislach, as we have it here. Okay,
yeah.
Ready?
V'nislach,
slow. Lewandowski what Lewandowski had in mind is the following. To say it twice in such a way that the Chazan says the melody, and then he says here, Cho. Whenever he says Cho in this book, in the Kolnina Otfila, he means also the congregation.
Mm.
He means also the congregation. So, I don't know how you do it in your synagogues, but the best thing is to do is the Chazan sings this melody beautifully and slow and slow. And then the congregation sing ready.
But our congregation will not start automatically.
You can invite
so perhaps you can sing it first as the Chazan alone or something, because they won't fall in after the
Chazan
part.
That's
so
a good question.
They don't know the
when there are young people who can fall in.
No,
the congregation will join us.
Yeah, okay, so in this case, maybe you should sing it and then have the congregation repeat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
maybe
it's future. But yeah, in music says that too, like the beginning where the Chazan sings is moderato and when the choir starts poco lento. The opposite what you say.
Yeah, but he has, you're right, but you cannot do it this way. If you do it, when he. You know what's happened, what will happen.
Yeah.
In speak, you have to take it maybe poco lento, but in cut time, in alla breve.
And then you said that the choir should be more moderato and the Chazan should be poco lento.
No, the
choir should sing a little faster than the Chazan. That's opposite what's written here.
Yeah. I know, but when you sing it once, moderato. That is slow. It's not fast.
No, that's moderato.
It will never sound fast.
No, that's more moderato. When the choir says the poco lento, you want the choir faster.
Yeah, but because it's 4-4. It's 4-4.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly the same effect. What will happen is if you sing it in the same 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 1, 2. So you have to sing it a little bit. You have to sing it as if it's written in cut time. When he's but slow, but in quick. He's not lefol and not menay is low. Okay, now we come to slachna. We have to take the pitch a little bit up. Slachna lon. Do you sing this one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So let's sing. When he has signs like that, the dynamics, what he means is, God said, I will pardon you.
Yes.
And in a very tender way. First of all, this kind of contrast between Porter and Slam. And then the three levels of singing, the three levels of singing reflect the three levels of singing of Falling Away.
Yes.
And Chazanim did that. There is another version of Hayom Adonai in the minor from the Eastern European synagogues, it's also in this three times, every time a little bit higher.
How do you achieve it? Because the Kehillah, at this point, it's the most known melody, so they can him all.
Yeah, I know.
So you have to do...
It doesn't matter.
You have to do this,
you have to do it yourself.
Look, how do you solve the problem like that? They sing. Vayomer Adonai, salachti ki dvarecha. And maybe not the first time, the second time they will. And also, be ahead of the congregation. Could we do it? Why or sing for it? Before you came in.
Yeah.
Like a jazzed up syncopation that you put in.
Yeah.
In. Then it helps. It won't always help, but many times it does have that. Alright, fine. So this is one highlight of Yom Kippur that we wanted to do. I don't want to go into all of them, so we don't have time for everything. But I want from Yom Kippur to take Yahweh. We have it here. And okay, there are many ways of singing Yahweh, and each has on. Now, from the 19th century on, this Yahweh, which Lewandowski had shaped, in other words, it was before Lewandowski, but Lewandowski had shaped it into the melody that it is now, is used. Now, this melody Lewandowski uses on other occasions. And let's remind our first of but another thing we'll talk about is the occasions that Lewandowski. We have to sing it on this pitch. Okay? Can we go? Then for the choir, he changed it a little bit, and in the Todah V'Zimra book, there is a version which is somewhat different, and it goes. Then the choir says. Yeah, okay. So, what you do is the combination of the solo part and the choir part.
Yeah.
Okay, be aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's nice. If you don't have a choir, you can do how do you say Vierae?
This is exactly the
older version that Lewandowski had in his in what you had in the music before. The only difference is that which Lewandowski added when he had added the choral part.
Oh, yes.
But you sing it like that, and that's fine.
Oh, okay,
so please,
change.
No, you don't have to get. But be aware of that, that when you sing it with a choir, you sing it twice. When you sing it with a choir, you sing it twice. Okay. All right. Now let's take the second verse. So the solution was to make a little cadence at the beginning to go up, like singing. Some did that, and you can do a big cadence on that. Eastern European cantors love to do this kind of thing, and they call it Yailis. Yailis was a kind of cadence that you do. I don't want to tell you to exaggerate doing that, but you can. You can invent something for the beginning that will have this kind of notion of going up, and then use the melody. Anybody wants to give it a try?
Nee, ik heb mijn handen vol met melody.
Dan is het heel goed.
Dan een berg.
Stage 1, 184 is in de maatschap. Je moet juist niet naar de noten kijken, want dat leidt af. Ja. Want die gaan naar beneden. Ja. Kijk niet naar de noten.
Nee.
Think about that and try to invent something that goes up just at the beginning of the other. Then all the rest of it, you don't need to do anything on that. And remember that when you have a choir, you repeat twice that melody in the beginning, in the middle, and when you don't have take the choral part and sing it. All right. Now let's go on to another service, and I wanted to do this time for America.
Yes.
Okay? Now, why is America very, very important? Let's open our mahzurim for Rosh Hashanah for America, which is in page 57. This is done in Rosh Hashanah and in Yom Kippur.
Take your hat.
Now, you know that according to Ashkenazi tradition, on Shabbat, the Chazan begins Shochenad. On the holidays, the Chazan begins, that means on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, and Ha'el Betatzumot Uzecha. And by the way, the German tradition had difference between each holiday. On Pesach, you would start with Hagibor LaNetzach, the Chazan would start with Hagibor LaNetzach. On Shavuot, Hagadol B'Chvot Shemecha. And on Sukkot, Ha'el Betatzumot Uzecha. There was a tradition in Germany, kind of a great in the Hagibor is the mighty power of God bringing us out of Egypt, etc. And Hagador, the greatness of God in Mount Sinai, so that's Shavuot. And Betatzumot Uzecha is the power of nature. Power of nature is Sukkot, celebrating the power of nature. So that's why Chazanim in Germany used to start on Hagibor for Pesach, Hagadol, but later everybody started in the Ashkenazi tradition with Ha'el Betatzumot Uzecha. But on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you start with Hamelech. That's where you start. Now, you as Chazanim, you start from the beginning of the service. You don't start from Hamelech.
No.
Really. So
you have to read that earlier.
Okay. You're there. But in the tradition, Hamelech was done. Like in a Nia Nimi Mas, you would start from the congregation, and you would sit in the in where the poor people of the congregation sat, and that's in the far end of the congregation. The Chazan would start singing the melody for Hamelech, and then go walk to the bima, while singing Hamelech. And
what a show.
Yeah.
Resembling the...
What a show, Chazan.
Yeah, but that was resembling, was not a show, but it was resembling that I am bringing the prayers of the poor people to God. Oh. And so that was a symbol. Now, because of that, we have this beginning of Hamelech in an embellished way. This is the remnant of it. Okay? So let's sing it once.
to do it. To do one breath. Not breath.
I think that musically it would, it's not very good to make breathing in such a place.
Yeah.
But if you think about this emotion and you want to make it so, you have no choice but to breathe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
It can be like it's just a bit more
okay. Now Chopin R. Ranenu, sing out, tzadikim. Therefore, this must be Ranenu tzadikim b'Adonai Laisharim avotei. Okay, put the emotion in it. So it's not just, a repetition of a kind of a melody. And Befi Yesharim is the same thing. And except that you have Bekerem, Kedoshim, an embellishment.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, now please notice that you're going to have a change in the Machzor, which probably I predict, David will probably contradict me. I don't know. No, he will not contradict me. I predict that the text is going to be changed in the new Machzor.
Yes, I guess, because
it's changed in the Sidur. It's changed in the Sidur in order to accommodate for the letters Yitzhak and Rivka. Okay? So, when this is going to be in a few years, you're going to have to change a little bit the singing, but the melody has to be remain the same. You cannot change the melody here. Okay? I hope that sooner than later, a new Machzor will come out.
Yes.
And there you'll have to use the same melody on. But it's very important. This is something. But the same melody applies to the Chatzi Kaddish. There, yeah. Please don't make the mistake that I hear in some Reform congregation where they do the Chatzi Kaddish for the for Shacharit as they do the Chatzi Kaddish for the evening. No, don't do that. Here is the melody, the proper melody for the Chatzi Kaddish. Down in the at the bottom of the
number
1. 146.
Yeah.
Where's the one?
There is no Chatzi Kaddish.
No. Oh, there's no Chatzi Kaddish?
No.
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 Oh, my God.
I was looking for
it.
No.
No. We're not in the Shacharit now in the Machzor.
You don't have Chatzi Kaddish?
No.
Are you going to put it back?
Yeah.
Chatzi Kaddish before Baal Pur.
No, we don't have it.
Yeah, there's no to go back. So you better learn it sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah. I already noticed that you should edit. Yeah.
Oh, you have it in the
Machzor.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
but that Chatzi Kaddish is this melody exactly as the melody for Hamelach and the Gula. Before the Baruch, traditionally there is a Chatzi Kaddish. Why is there a Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch? Because of the idea that the Chatzi Kaddish is not like the Kaddish Yatom, and not like it is a separation,
yeah.
Device. It's a doxology. We call it a doxology, a separative doxology. It tells you, Sugei the Divine, handed here, now we start with the Shema and its blessings. And therefore, the Baruch is as if you begin anew the service. Therefore, you have the Chatzi Kaddish. This is why it's very important to observe Chatzi Kaddish there. But I don't know. I don't want to until you have the new Sidur, the new Menu Machzor, if the congregation doesn't do the Chatzi Kaddish here. No, no, don't take it.
Why is there no Chatzi Kaddish between the third bracha of the Shema and Amida? Because Amida is also, that's the most important.
That's a very good question.
No.
That's
the whole thing. With the three themes before the Mubarakot.
Yeah.
The creation, liberation,
and the Geula.
Yeah. And the Amida is the Geula. You don't wait when the Mashiach is coming. Go and meet him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now this is a literal explanation of what is halachically forbidden. You're not supposed to stop between Ga'al Israel and the Amida. To such an extent that the Chazanim saying Tzur Israel very loud, and then when they came.
Yeah, that's why I also do.
Why is that? So that the congregation would not repeat Amen. Right.
And they don't.
Yeah, okay.
No, this we've taught all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a smooth transition to the Amida. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there is no Chatzi Kaddish.
Yeah.
When do you have Chatzi Kaddish before the Amida?
In the evening.
Why? Because originally, the Amida was not part of the evening service.
Right.
The evening service ended with a Chatzi Kaddish after Shema Uvirchoteha. And then the Amida was said by people who wanted to say it. It was not obligatory. And until now, the Amida is not said aloud by the Chazan.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you have a Chatzi Kaddish there in the Mari. But you do not have, and also before Mincha, there is Asher on. When you have Geula, and then after that, the Amida, no Chatzi Kaddish, no pause,
separation.
Separation. But before Baruch, traditionally we have a Chatzi Kaddish. I don't want to intervene. Liberal liturgy has some rules. People did not want to repeat the Kaddish too many times. Because of the repetition, they took it out.
Right. There are also congregations that do Adonai, Sefatati, Saf. You know, before the silent Amida.
I don't like that. And if I do it, I do it only once, and not as they do it now, six times or seven times.
But that's for the repetition. I just mean before the silent Amida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You
should not some that even before the silent Amida.
You like the da 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 da. That's the one you like.
Yeah. Of course. The Amida. Thank you.
That I
like.
Yeah.
Okay, let's let me sing it one. Veitadar, veitale, veitolal,
Do you
how do you people do in your congregations? For Shacharit and Musaf?
We repeat the
Shacharit is not repeated.
No.
But then, which melody do you use for Shacharit? Same thing as Musaf. Okay. Then exactly. Let's sing it now. Solutions for that. For instance, on Shabbat, I'm against it. Repeat the same thing. Because you want.
Yeah, the men go up and the women go down.
Exactly. You don't want this to happen.
Okay? No, you don't want it.
Why not? Why not? Tom, this is in our mind, we want it very much. We cannot declare it in public. Okay, so I think it's not a good idea.
That's why I
insist on repeating the same melody. The same melody more for that. Okay, so let's take it again from Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzchak, and Elohe Yaakov, and repeat it for Elohe Sarah, Elohe Rivka, and you say Elohe Rachel, Elohe Leah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, okay, fine. So let's do it again. Elohe Abraham. Thanks. Elyon, you think the highest God, yeah. In the highest heavens.
Yeah.
This is why the melody goes like that. Now the tender part of it. God is high above, but and we're talking about loving kindness, we're talking about grace. So piano. Lentissimo and molto religioso, with the right feeling. And the right feeling is by this contrast that you have piano, and the piano that you sing should never be piano.
Huh?
It should be a very strong piano. You think you can say Baruch, with emotion. Of course, you cannot do it too much piano because you will not be heard by the entire congregation. You will have to do it a little bit more than, say, mezzo piano or even mezzo forte, but do it tenderly, and you have to be very careful because when you sing Baruch, you have to bow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baruch, and then you go up. That music, Lewandowski was taking into consideration every aspect of your singing. You see that, and then, you have to rise up before you say Adonai. So you rise on Atah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I do it
differently.
I do the Baruch,
Atah, Adonai.
Yeah, you do.
Baruch Atah Adonai.
Yeah, I know. But when there is a minhag that Baruch Atah Adonai, and I do it too. But on the high holidays, I do it differently. I do it.
Baruch Atah Adonai.
Be able to sing
this. Yeah, singing. There is a difference in choreography in some in this kind of choreography. They did. The idea is, no matter what you do, Baruch Atah for Adonai you rise.
Yeah,
right. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But here I would do it.
Baruch
and then rise. Yeah. On Shabbat, Baruch Atah Adonai. It comes naturally.
Yeah.
But here, no.
So in the Nishma, it has okay to put him to raise us up to be bowed down.
Right. Adonai is okay to put him. That's what we talk about. God raising the.
Yeah.
So when you say Adonai, you must be up, and the melody here supports that kind of choreography. Okay.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We don't have too much time to talk through it, but there are so many things. But
yeah.
I thought these are the highlights that we need to do. Now I want to go to the taking out of the Torah on the high holiday.
Yeah.
Okay, we all know the Adonai. Vayyi Nisua is done. How do you do it like Shabbat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is done in all many conversions, like Shabbat. In some conversions, they invented special melodies for high holidays, which is really a minority. And Adonai, Adonai, you do in a, you want the congregation to do Adonai, Adonai. Do you do it three times?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Again, I would do it. Let's call it there.
And
not in this case your computer congregation, but piano, mezzo forte, and forte. Very sure. Adonai at the end. So it gets the congregation a little bit of the.
But not a higher pitch.
Not there. Don't do a higher pitch because you're going from confusion. Yeah. In this case, you're depending on the congregation. You must sing it, and you don't want to confuse them. If it were possible, then I would do an accompaniment which would go dum pam pam Adonai pam 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 Adonai. Yoppe would be a master of such things.
He would love to relations.
Oh, he'd love to do that. But without Yoppe, don't do it. So we do that. Then we go to Shema Israel. And that is a part of the half holiday. The Sefer Torah is taken out, and you hold the Sefer Torah, and you sing the Shema Israel. Okay, let's sing.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Adonai Echad. A little bit of pause between the not taken too much of a big breath, but emphasize Echad. Echad. Let's do the Echad.
Echad
to do this Shema again.
The Shemesh?
And
Ma'arif?
In the Ila? Will you do it on the Ila?
At the
end of the Ila? You do the same melody?
No.
Because
congregations
are divided on that. Which melody do you do for the Ila? And where does this come from?
I don't know.
You know, but you forgot.
Yes.
Okay.
Shalosh
Regalim. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Thank you. Shalosh Regalim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shalosh Regalim. And when, at the evening of Shalosh Regalim, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu,
There
is a logic.
Make a bridge.
Exactly. There is a logic to both of them. If you sing Shema Yisrael at the Midah, that's a reminder of the Yom Kippur. That's the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur melody. On the other hand, if you do Shema Yisrael Eloheinu Adonai Echad, you create a bridge to Sukkot.
Yes.
And there were congregations who insisted on Shema Yisrael being Yom Kippur, And the other ones insisted that, that we have to make a transition to Sukkot.
Yeah.
And yeah,
and that's why we get so big with so many congregations.
Right.
Yeah. that's a secret way of God. When he splits the congregations, and you have instead of one congregation, two congregations, and then they have a big war within themselves when they split again.
Yeah.
To another
that's the way to survive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, I understand why you do what you do.
So I don't want to dictate how you should say, but please understand the reason behind
we quite often in the year always we introduce and build the bridges every time.
Yeah, we do. I mean that's part of contemporary tradition to bring to build the bridges. For instance, when you celebrate, say, Rosh Chodesh, when you sing the Bracha for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you use a melody for Pesach.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not yet Pesach.
No,
but you are foreshadowing, forecasting.
We have it already in the, for example, in the Nechamocha, it goes like the Yitzhak is against Shabbat.
Right, yes. That was done this Shabbat in the congregation.
Yeah.
Here, that they say Nechamocha in the melody for High Holy.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. My feeling also is that at the end of the Nila, the Kapara is given. So
yeah,
for me, Yom Kippur is over. So I should be in another mode.
Okay, all right, I'm telling you. Kaddish Shalom, people dig in many generations, Kaddish Shalom for the Neila. Yeah, okay. So I'm telling you that there is good reason for this, and there's good reason for that. You have to decide what kind of melody you use for Shema Yisrael.
And the congregation is used to work.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, of course. Yeah. Each congregation has their own congregation.
But
please remember the only thing that we need now to talk about, and that is the transition from Gadlul Adonai Yitit Lecha Adonai Gdula. Now, Lecha Adonai Gdula is again said, is the regular Lecha Adonai Gdula, Lewandowski, that usually you sing Lecha Adonai. Right?
Isn't it?
Lecha
Adonai, it's a choral music, I think.
Yeah. Which one?
Lecha Adonai
But there's also Lewandowski.
Yes, but it's more beautiful than the regular one. Yeah,
that's true. But the only thing is that Shema Yisrael is in minor. Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Echad Adonai, Gadol Adonai, Kadosh Elohim Shemo.
In the key, Gadol Adonai Yitin.
Okay, so you have to be aware that here you modulate into the major.
Yes.
You can use Gadlul Adonai Onera Memashe Mo Yachida, except when you.
So you have to be very careful to take the other lacha.
Right. So you need to know which lacha Adonai you're going to sing and how do you model it to the lacha Adonai. And plus, there is another thing. While you're modulating there, you're standing with the Sefer Torah confronting the Kahal,
mm-hmm.
and you want on the Rosh Hashanah to have some kind of feeling of uplifting.
Yes.
Yeah. The old tradition of doing it was that the Chazan stood facing the Ark for the Gadlul Adonai Yitit,
mm-hmm.
and then turn around immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Lifting up the sefer Now I would say, don't do too many acrobatics with the sefer Torah.
Or let the rabbi do it.
For this, I insist that you know this by heart.
Yes.
Don't use a sidur for that. So we need to finish very soon. So plan that Lula Adonai Yitin, whatever modulation you do, has to be very slow. The tendency to extend the melody. Do something that you can. It gives the congregation a sense that it's not just an introduction to the title. Okay? So we need to end here.